Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Boom! The button has been pushed. The podcast has been engaged.
Warp speed.
You cannot stop now, people listening. He said warp speed.
That's right.
If you jump off now, you die.
Yeah, you got to wait till we come out the other side.
Yep, which will be, in like 20-ish minutes when we're done talking.
That's right.
That whole time. It's not. It's like kind of a warp. I mean, it depends on how much distance we're traveling, really.
We're just going around the corner.
Okay, so it's very slow.
Yeah.
We're very slow. But don't jump off. You will die. Mostly because Tim will shoot you.
That's right.
You can't jump off.
No deserters on my crew.
No one jettisons anything here. Movies.
Hey, movies.
Let's do them.
Let's do those there movie.
Them there movie VVVs.
How their movie?
How's your movies looking?
Oh, they're fine.
They're fine? I end strong.
All right, then I will go first.
Okay.
And I will go first with a documentary. It's been a minute
since
I did a documentaries. 2023's Bye Bye Barry.
Bye bye.
Bye Barry.
Barry.
I watched it on March 4th, 2024. It's an hour 32. Genre documentary sport.
Sport.
Directed by Paul Manvowski and Michaela Powers and Angela Torma. Bunch of people.
Heroes in a Half Shell, Kella Powers.
If you don't know yet, this is... I'm going to go back to the starring in a second. I'm going to read you the description. IMDb movie summary. The definitive story of Barry Sanders' Hall of Fame career and his extraordinary decision to walk away from the game in the prime of his career. So, football movie.
Football.
Talking about Barry Sanders.
Sanders.
Greatest running back in the history of the game? I'd argue yes. But I like the starring is all just people who are known people who are fans of the Lions. So we got Tim Allen, Eminem, and Jeff Daniels.
That is wild.
That is your cast.
Well, I love that.
Not Barry Sanders.
Not Barry Sanders.
Or any of the other sports people that show up in here.
Oh.
He's problematic too, right? I guess it depends on your opinion. But this is about Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders, if you don't know, was the running back from... God, where was he from? I don't even remember it. I watched this damn thing. He was arguably the greatest running back in the history of the NFL. He would actually take himself out of games before he beat records. He just didn't care about that. It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
I didn't know a ton of... I remember Barry Sanders, and I remember thinking he was fantastic, but... The Lions hadn't won a game in I don't know how many years, and he gave them a chance. They ended up going to the playoffs a bunch of times and doing really well. Never did achieve that goal, and he did walk away in the prime of his career, and he just said, I'm done. I've had enough.
Fair.
And it's one of those things where, you know, he's got all these stats that are better than guys. Like, they compare him a lot to the Cowboys, to Dallas, and it's like, man, they get three championships during his career, but, like, he's got better stats than all of them.
That's wild.
It's pretty wild. It's definitely the case of if this guy was on a different team, he would have had a Super Bowl seven times over.
Right.
But he's a real humble guy, and he doesn't really care about that. He does look at it as a team sport, and he's not just for his own personal glory.
Sure.
Which is interesting. And it's basically just him saying, yeah, I kind of walked away, and they sit him down himself, and he talks with his kids, and his kids kind of ask him questions like, why'd you walk away? Because in the peak, he just said, no, I'm done, and quietly retired over fax machine, which is kind of epic.
That is epic.
Yeah, he just sent the Lions a note like, yeah, I'm done. And he sent it from, he was in England. He's like, I'm done. I'm just going to be over here.
Oh, sure.
It's a pretty fascinating story, but I found it interesting to go back and relive the 80s era of NFL,
you know, right,
which we fondly remember because we're Niners fans.
That's right.
But Barry was just so good. And it's funny because you see them talk about him not wanting to break certain records in the NFL. And then they go back and they talk about his college career. And he did the same thing. He took himself out of games before he won different awards. He does end up winning the Heisman Trophy at one point. And he's just like, oh, that's fine.
Thanks.
They made him. He was overseas. He happened to be overseas when they were doing the awards. Playing, I don't remember where they were playing, but it was like, I don't know, 3 a.m, and they made him get up because they knew he was going to win the Heisman Trophy, and he looked so fucking miserable on the video call.
I want to go back to bed.
He's like, what are we doing? What's a video call? It's the 80s. What are we doing? So he was not thrilled.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty interesting documentary. He's a super sweet guy. His father's kind of the fun part of the documentary because he just was like, he was the flash and the sizzle. He took all the credit.
Oh, that's funny.
And he was like, nah, my kid's the best. He's the greatest. And he was like his hype man.
Sure.
And he basically was just like, yeah, I just let dad do whatever he wanted. He was having such a good time. He became, you know, almost a celebrity in his own right.
That's awesome.
Which was pretty cool.
That is cool.
You get to meet his entire family. Just a very good, well-rounded documentary. And I like that they talked to him because he'd never really definitively say why he walked away. And arguably in this one, he doesn't get super into it, but he gives you something.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's good. IMDb give this a 7.7. The critics, 11 of them at Rotten Tomatoes, give it 91%. The audience, 50 plus, give it 99%.
Wow.
Yes. I don't know if that's really high just because it's a very new movie. But it is very good. I gave it an 8 out of 10.
That's awesome.
I found it very enjoyable.
I like that we're getting in the era of more streaming services and like mm-hmm. the shift financially has been to some of these smaller documentaries where it's just like, hey, we're going to honor some person. Like they did that with Derek Jeter.
Yep.
And you get these like smaller documentaries that are just about a person. Just like, hey, let's talk about this person who was like pretty good at what they did.
Pretty good and just like a nice guy. There's no, because half the time it's like, oh, it's problematic.
Yeah.
No, something awful happened.
Just going to celebrate the career of this guy who's like kind of unsung.
Right. And I don't know why, because that dude was amazing.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, what you got?
2023, Love at First Sight. I watched this on Valentine's Day of 2024. Ooh. It is 1 hour and 31 minutes. It's a romance comedy. Ooh. Some would call them rom-coms.
Ooh.
Not Google.
Oh.
Directed by Vanessa Caswell, starring Haley Lou Richardson, Ben Hardy, and Jamila Jamil.
That's a fun name.
Yeah.
Sounds like the start of Laverne and Shirley.
It does. Jamila, Jamil, IMDb movie summary. We're going to do it.
Ba, 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 ba. Garfield and Friends.
That's right. A 20-year-old girl misses her flight at JFK Airport and meets a young British guy who may turn out to be her true love.
Oh, good.
Missed opportunities, as they call them on Craigslist.
Oh, yes. Those.
Or were they missed connections, missed opportunities, something like that?
I forget.
Yeah.
Probably missed connections.
Yeah, missed connections, I think is correct.
That shit's always the funniest.
Oh, yeah.
I seen you buying a hammer. That's you's
right.
Hot.
That's right. Looking for roller skate repair technician. Don't remember what roller rink it was. Yes. I was pretty stoned. Thought she was hot.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
My thoughts on this movie is this is very, very, very predictable rom-com fare. Like, it could not be more modern-day cutesy rom-com where there's even, like, a narrator who's like, there may be more to this than either of them realize. Do, 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 do. Funny person. That was the fun name person? Okay. And, nice. Yeah, she's actually embodied in this movie and shows up at different points as, like, background characters to kind of push the story along or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And maybe he had feelings for her. Like it was, just, it was, yeah, it was like a little much, but the two leads were very likable and okay. Did have a good chemistry together. Like they actually felt pretty good. There wasn't a lot of stakes. Like the stakes could not possibly be lower in this movie.
Okay.
There's a little bit of heartfelt stuff with, the main character's going to what you think is a funeral for his mother, and he's British and he's flying overseas, and the girl is flying overseas for her dad's marriage to a different woman. So she's kind of like, yeah, it's my dad, I want to support him, but I've never met this woman that he met over here or over there, and so I don't know what to expect. And then she goes to find him, so she's looking for a funeral, and it's actually like his mom and dad are into the theater and they're doing like an honoring of her life while she's still alive, so she can have like essentially like her friends do like artistic renditions of things and like honor her in a way that she gets to see it.
That's cool.
So it's kind of like a living funeral. Yeah, it's a neat idea. And so like there's enough interest and like kind of subversion of expectations that it saves itself from like the most cliche rom-com ever.
That's nice.
So I didn't hate it. It was pretty fun to watch. Like it just, again, falls, like I will not remember this movie in 6 months. I'll be like, what the hell movie was that? The movie title is not super memorable. Right. It just, it was fine. It was fun, but I guarantee I will not remember this movie, partially because it is a little cliche, partially because it is a rom-com and I am not rom-com man.
You're not rom-com man.
I am
rom-com
not.
Man. Ready?
No,
I'm surprised nobody's blind in this movie with that title.
I know.
Were you expecting somebody to be blind?
I watched the little. I didn't actually know the title of it because I was just watching the little trailer play while we were going through streaming because it was Valentine's Day, and Sam was like, "I wish we should watch a rom-com." You never let me watch rom-coms, which is not inaccurate. I am definitely not rom-com man.
Rom-com man.
So, we did, and here's where we are. IMDb 6.8 out of 10 on that one. Rotten Tomato critics, 50 of them, 74%.
Okay.
Audience, 500 plus.
Plus.
81%.
All right.
Yeah, it's not bad. I gave it a 6.5.
Sure. It sounds like it's a by the books, non-offensive.
It's lovely. Yeah. And I just want to finish this so I have time for my next movie.
There you go. Well, let's get you there.
Yeah.
I got a movie.
Please.
It's from 2022.
Ooh.
It's called The Devil Conspiracy.
The Devil.
The Devil and Sharon. Garfield and Friends.
I watched this on the 8th of March, 2024. It's an hour 51. Your genre horror sci-fi thriller directed by Nathan Frankowski?
Francois.
Sure. Starring Alice Orr Ewing, Joe Doyle, and Evelyn Hall.
Mm.
Your IMDb movie summary. A cult steals the Shroud of Turin for wicked purposes.
Wicked.
Wicked, bro. Get your shroud, bro.
Get your shroud, bro.
Wicked powder up here, bro.
It's not like that. Peter Mensah is also in this movie, and he plays the Archangel Michael, which is really fun. You would know him. Large black man who was in Jason X, Spartacus, 300.
Okay.
He's great.
Yep.
He plays an angel in this. So this is an interesting movie because it is very much about a cult, but you know horror elements exist.
Hmm.
And I always enjoy horror movies around religion because I think the devil should be the ultimate evil.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So this movie starts with way back in time when the Archangel Michael takes Lucifer to hell,
right.
Chains him up, and puts his sword there to hold him in place.
Yep.
So Lucifer vows to escape, and that is the whole premise of this movie. This cult is trying to make it happen.
Oh, cool.
They end up stealing the Shroud of Turin, which was the shroud that Jesus was covered in when he died and resurrected.
Yep.
So it has his DNA. So they're trying to basically genetically make a new Jesus body for the devil to come back into.
Hmm.
Which is a pretty creative idea, I suppose.
Yeah.
The cult is wild. There's this very old woman who is like the head of the cult, and she is insane.
Sounds right.
But overacting, but like she's fun, so I kind of forgive it. But you're following this woman who doesn't believe in religion, of course, and doesn't believe any of it. She's friends with a priest, and he lets her in to see the shroud, and she's kind of sketching some of the statues and whatnot in the museum where they're showing it. And, of course, people break in and steal the shroud. The priest gets killed, and the Archangel Michael inhabits his body and becomes basically Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Interesting.
And just starts murking people left and right.
That's interesting.
It's weird. And not great, but it's also kind of fun and creative. So I wasn't really sure how this movie's scoring was going to go.
Right.
But it is a fun movie. It's just not amazing.
Okay.
But it is different. So I guess it's got that going for it. IMDb give it a 4.5. The critics of Rotten Tomatoes give it 26%.
Oof.
The audience gives it 51%.
Okay.
The wife gives it a 5.5.
Okay.
I gave it a 6.5, and I'll tell you why. Because I thought it was so incredibly creative and an original idea using basic ideas that we've seen before.
Right. Sounds like they were just in it to come up with a preposterous idea and have a good time.
Reverse engineer that crazy idea.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Tell me about your movie. I gave you lots of time.
This is one I know we'll have a lot to say.
Ooh, good.
It's also a part of Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge, where the alphabet comes to play.
It is the letter T.
Mm.
And the movie is Total Recall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's from 1990. It's the good one.
Get your ass to Mars.
Yes, it is watched by me on the 19th of February, 2024. It's 1 hour and 53 minutes long. It's a sci-fi action movie directed by the great Paul Verhoeven, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sharon Stone, who that was Tim's impression,
yep.
And Michael Ironside.
That's right.
Your movie summary here. A factory worker, Douglas Quaid, begins to suspect that he is a spy after visiting Recall, a company that provides its clients with implanted fake memories of a life they would like to lead. And it goes wrong, and he finds himself on the run.
I got no joke. Damn it.
Okay, I was waiting.
I was going to do Band on the Run, but they'll definitely sue us.
Yeah. To recall, we've referenced this movie a bunch of times. We talk about Paul Verhoeven a lot on this podcast, despite the fact I think we've criminally underwatched his body of work on this podcast.
That's also true.
But I don't know. Maybe there'll be more to come on that as the times go on. And this movie is kind of this. I'm trying to think of a good way to say it. I wrote a version of it here. This movie kind of typifies everything that is exciting to me about movies. Like this is like I am all in. I watched this movie way too young.
Sure.
Especially for like nude women with three boobs.
I love me a good three-boobed woman.
There is a lot going on here that is not okay for children. Just warning there for
just an extra boob.
Well, there's a lot more than that. A lot of violence, a lot of excess in this movie, but it's really crazy. From a filmmaking perspective, it's really well done. The pace is great. The stories are excellent, and Rob Bottin's effects are unreal good for 1990.
For sure.
Like, to me, this is kind of the peak. Like, if somebody's like, what's some of the best special effects you've seen in a movie? Total Recall is on the list.
Absolutely. I got a bunch of things in my head right now. Just you saying Total Recall.
The thing.
Changing the face where it peels apart.
The woman, yeah. The 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And he takes that off and goes, it breaks into pieces and then breaks. The fact that was a real piece that was done is unbelievable to me. Like, CG cannot touch that particular effect.
No, that's amazing.
It's unreal. And then, like, when he throws the head and it explodes, time for a surprise.
Yeah.
And it blows up. It's nuts. Like, this movie is batshit. Benny's arm is one of the best cable controlled animatronics I can think of.
I love pulling the thing out of the nose.
Oh yeah, awesome.
It's such a simple thing, but it looked horrendous.
The atmosphere, the impact of the atmosphere with no oxygen is little cartoony but ridiculous. Like, it just all fits though. Like, all of the mutants are awesome and interesting and bizarre. It is such a bombastic, over-the-top, wild movie, but it's for a reason. Like, there's reasons everything's there. The artistic decision-making that was made was awesome. If you want to see, like, the more pulled-back version of this, it'd be much more aimed at the modern Total Recall, and that movie was not nearly as good as this one.
No, it's watchable, but it's not as good.
Not near, and it was like, that was much more sleek and controlled, and they were trying to make it much more focused on the recall stuff than just a cool action movie that that is a background element, and they do reintroduce the, like, oh, you're in the chair and your brain's being fucked with, like, don't. And then he realizes that that's, you know, as Arnold would say, bullshit, all of it.
Right.
And it's just so good. It's so wild. Like, no part of this movie isn't having fun. Fucking Ronnie Cox is the bad guy chewing the scenery in this is great. Benny's great in this movie. Everybody who's in the Sharon Stone, like, in her 80s aerobic outfit, like, trying to fight Arnold Schwarzenegger is ridiculous. Like, there's no part of this movie that is not so over the top in the best way. Fucking see you at the party, Richter. Like, it's so good. Michael Ironside is so good and angry. And, like, when they call out, they even go as far as to kind of make fun of the movie a little bit where, like, Michael Ironside's like, oh, because his wife is Sharon Stone and she's, like, supposed to be kind of keeping Quaid, like, under the guise of the mental implants that they put into him, the memory changes. So she's pretending to be his wife. And he's like, I'd hate it if he was banging my wife too. And he's like, do you think she likes it? And the guy's like, no, man, I'm sure she hates every minute of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like the things they call out, like even making fun of the characters with the other characters, it just, every part of it feels really cool. The background designs and all the alien technology at Mars, the look of Mars being like tunnels so that the air systems can be contained, and Mars just feeling like it's underneath of everything's locked down and locked downable. Mm-hmm. Feels like that Ronnie Cox truly has like total control of it. Is really smart. Like, there's no decision that didn't go without really, really smart thought. And they went huge. Even the squibs in this movie are like the size of a tennis ball. It's like, what bullets are they shooting in this movie?
Mars bullets.
Yeah, it's bonkers. It's just like they blow people's arms off with these bullets. It's nuts.
This movie, I think, got a good reception because it was a more serious Arnold movie.
Yes.
As crazy and batshit as it is.
Right.
Because everything else was just like, ah, I shoot things, you know, for so long.
It made it so big around Arnold that Arnold couldn't be bigger than what the hell was going on around it.
Correct.
Like, it's not the subtle performer. The more subtle Arnold, which is subtle as we get, is probably Conan.
Yes.
Like,
I would say so.
Yeah, like, that's, it's not nearly trying to be that. Like, he's not, like, a man of few words. Right. They're just making him, like, peak action movie, get your ass to Mars.
Yeah.
As wild as it gets, Arnold. Like, you get all the little quotes and quips and Arnold bullshit, and it feels right at home in this movie. Yeah. Love Total Recall.
I agree.
IMDb gives this a 7.5 out of 10.
Not enough.
Rotten Tomato critics, 76 critics, 82%.
Closer.
Audience, 100,000 plus, 79%.
Not enough.
Wrong. I give this a 9.5 out of 10.
Wow. I thought it was going to be a 9. That's good.
9.5. This movie is awesome. It's fun. It just, everything about movies that I like, there's some version of this in this film.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.